Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager for Barrick Yard Advisors, is here, and we're talking stocks today in the Money Life Market Call. This is the Market Call, everyone, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their jobs and how they're doing it right now. Because we learn about their methodology, what goes into their buys and sells, what they see happening on the market at this point in time, what they like, what they dislike, and eventually we put them to your test with a little bit of hold it or fold it. My guest, Martin LeClaire, Portfolio Manager and Chief Investment Officer at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information, you go to barrickyard.com, and they're on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. Martin LeClaire, good to have you back on Money Life.
Hey, great to be here, Chuck. Thank you.
We always start with methodology, and more than many advisory firms, I find that your methodology is particularly detailed. So let's get into it.
Okay, great. Well, it's tied in really to our investment philosophy, and not to get too much into the weeds, but first and foremost, we regard ourselves as an investment firm. And so we like to make the distinction between investment and speculation. And basically, an investment is any asset that produces income for the potential benefit of the owner, whereas a speculation doesn't produce income. In fact, many so-called investments that are not really investments actually lose money. So that's number one. A way to think about it, which really relates to the first part of our methodology, is everyone remembers a movie from the late 90s called Jerry Maguire, and there's one line there called, you know, show me the money. And that's really what we're talking about here. So what we do first and foremost is we look at an asset and see what the cash flow is on that asset. And then what we do is we say, okay, the asset's priced at $10, let's say, and it's producing free cash flow of $1. That gives it a yield of 10%. So what we do is we turn everything into a yield. And the yield has two components. One is the cash now, and then the other component is what we think management may do with the retained cash that they keep in the business to grow the business. And so it has a growth component, but also a cash component. But investors should not get too crazy about the growth component, because the history of American capitalism is that good businesses grow on average over the long term by about 5% a year. So the way we kind of look at it, if the S&P 500 is yielding 2%, then probably the stock market under the best circumstances might be priced to yield 7% because of 5% growth. However, markets get very expensive, and so that growth component you can't sort of, you know, take to the bank with you. So that's number one. Number two is we're very much in the weeds in terms of looking at businesses, because we think the source of investment returns doesn't come from the stock market. You know, you could still buy and sell businesses if the stock market didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so many investment philosophies are basically premised on the idea is that the stock market gives returns. But we look at source of investment returns coming from the growth in the internal value creation of a business. So that's important. And then for your listeners out there, we're also wealth managers. We deal directly with individual investors. And so we're very much concerned about temperament and the whole idea of paradox of investing, because what it is you know, you could be the smartest person in the world. You may have gone to the finest universities, but that really doesn't make you a good investor. Being a good investor, you know, Warren Buffett jokes about if you have an above average IQ, you know, get rid of some of those IQ points, because it's not going to help you as an investor, right? So we try to help, because so much of it is emotional and counterintuitive to be a successful investor. So we try to drive good behavior on the part of our clients. And the paradox of investing is this, is that no one really wants to outlive their money, and everyone wants to live to a ripe old age. So by definition, everyone is a long-term investor. However, most people look at their investments with short-term considerations. And so we try to, you know, drive people away from that. So how do we tie this all together? And it comes into what we call predictive attributes. And the idea of predictive attributes is outside the investment realm. For example, if you live a life where, you know, basically you get exercise every day, you eat properly, you sleep well, you don't abuse alcohol and drugs and things like that, the chances are that you will live to be have a more successful life health-wise if you engage in that sort of behavior than if you're a couch potato and you only eat junk food and you're miserable and you smoke cigarettes and all that kind of stuff. And that's the same way with investments, that there are time-honored attributes that businesses possess which add to success. Now, you know, you can exercise every day and be surrounded by loved ones and, you know, have a great life, and there's no guarantee you're going to live to be old, but it just increases your odds. In the same way, if you engage in predictive analysis, there's no guarantee, you know, because things can happen. So yep. That's kind of a background.
Okay, so when you put it all together, we've got these market conditions where the market itself has been, you know, climbing the wall of worry, but very slowly. And I recognize that you're looking at businesses and trying to buy those growth rates and things that you were talking about. But what's your general feeling about what you're seeing in the market at this point?
Well, we're in a very unusual age in the sense that I think when historians look back on this time, they'll regard this as being the, you know, when Louis XIV was king, that's called the age of absolutism, right? And I think we're in the age of financial engineering. There really hasn't been much growth in the world for the last 20 years. And it's really been, to the extent we've had growth, it's all been financially engineered through debt and central banks doing unprecedented things, negative interest rates, $17 trillion worth of debt globally are held by institutions and I guess individuals, but mostly institutions, where they're guaranteed to lose money by owning that asset. You know, what kind of world we live in? It's kind of a crazy world. So we are somewhat cautious. We understand we're in a very unusual circumstance. So, you know, we have some dry powder in terms of taking advantage of any potential disruptions in the market. We feel like we're maybe towards the end of a cycle, certainly not the beginning of a cycle. But with that said, we're still finding opportunities in individual businesses that we think are attractive from just a very much of a common sense point of view.
What's an example or two of that?
Well, an example of what I just said would be Prudential Financial. Now, Prudential is, you know, the big insurance company. They do most of their business here in the U.S. plus in Japan. I think everyone knows The Rock. It just seems to me to be crazy cheap right now. The stock's trading somewhere in the high 80s. The book value is $151 a share. So what you're doing is, for $89, you're getting $151 worth of assets. In other words, you're buying it at a 40% discount. Now, maybe some of those assets are not worth what they say it's worth, but the book value has been growing at about 9% for a decade. And as recently as 2 years ago, the stock was trading above its book value. So the way we look at it is the stock is cheap, cheap, cheap. It pays you a dividend of 4.5% a year right now. And that dividend has grown by 11% a year. So at that rate, even if they half that rate, then the dividend will double in the next decade. And I would certainly think that they can continue to grow their book value at a decent clip. I mean, if you even go through the financial crisis, so for the past 15 years, they've been growing their book value by about 8 or 9% a year. So that would be a common sense example.
Okay. That's Prudential Financial, PRU. Something else that stands out to you?
Well, one of the predictive factors we really believe in is skin in the game. And so the idea being that, you know, let's say you have a ranch the guy who is running the ranch is a ranch hand as opposed to the owner. You know, the ranch hand is going to probably not be as committed to adding value as the owner is going to be. And so that's kind of the idea behind skin in the game, that you want to own businesses that the guys and gals running that business, you know, own the shares and they put their own money. And globally, there are family holding companies, which are basically repositories of long-term wealth for very rich families that are publicly traded companies. And so for in Asia right now, I think, a very attractive quality business is Jardine Matheson. They have ADRs that are pretty liquid here in the United States. It's a Singapore-based company, but they do have assets in Hong Kong. And as a consequence of that, the stock has come down. However, the family that controls the business has controlled it for over 200 years. They're actually originally from England. And over the past 30 years, they've compounded earnings and dividends at a rate higher than roughly the same as Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Wow. Buffett. So they have a very good track record. Stock's trading at a 30% discount to its book value. The book value is like 77. The stock's in the mid-50s. The dividend yield's over 3%, and that continues to grow. They own assets such as Mandarin Oriental Hotel that most people might have heard of, but also they own the largest food company in Asia. They own automobiles, dealerships throughout Asia. They're really okay. at the
We get the point. It's JMHLY. If we're looking for the ADR, now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Martin LeClaire. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager for Barrick Yard Advisors. BarrickYard.com on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guests to your test. You know how it works. Send us your requests, but right now we're going to jump right in because we're a bit late getting here. And we're going to start with two requests from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first, Microsoft, MSFT.
Well, I've owned Microsoft in the past, and for about a five-year period, you could have bought Microsoft on a free cash flow yield of about 10%. Now the free cash flow yield is somewhere around 3%. So I would say sell it. I know it's a great company, but it's enormously expensive, and I think buying it at this level would be akin to buying it back like 20 years ago when it was crazy expensive and it's not priced to deliver high returns over the long term, I do not believe.
Okay, so that is a fold on Microsoft, ticker symbol MSFT.
Sell, yes, precisely.
And
yes.
I have to disclose I have that in my own portfolio. Richard's other request for Nokia, that ADR trades under NOK.
So Nokia is an interesting situation. Long and short of it is that on the surface, it doesn't look like it would meet our criteria. However, we think it's a borderline more speculative type of name. However, with what's going on with the trade war, and the fact that, Huawei is not a company that the United States really wants to do business with. They're in competition with them. So I think they're well positioned to take advantage of the 5G build out in coming years. And you get paid a 4% dividend while you wait. So I like Nokia.
Either gets on
Actually,
board
I
or gets
Nokia.
Left behind.
Okay, so Nokia, NOK, not only a buy, but something that Martin holds in his portfolio. Let's stay with ADRs for a moment with Mark in Eagan, Minnesota, wanting to know about Siemens AG. That ADR is SIEGY.
So Siemens is kind of like the opposite of Microsoft. So if you look at their 10-year growth rates, they're not too dissimilar. However, Siemens is trading at around a 9% free cash flow yield, 12 times earnings. And back in the earlier part of this century, Siemens was a little bit of a glamour stock, trading around 20 times earnings. Now it's 12 times. I think it's a quality business. It pays a 4% plus dividend. I don't own it, but it's one that I've been, mulling. So I think it's a reasonable thing to own.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So that's a buy on Siemens, AGSIEGY. Our last two requests today go to Dale in London, Ohio. The first, Global Water Resources, GWRS.
Well, I have two problems with Global Water Resources. Number one is the industry. Not that I have a problem with the industry so much, but valuations. For many, many years, I own Aqua America, which is probably the blue chip in the water business. And there's a narrative out there that these things are just, you know, they're so popular. They're so expensive. So the industry is overpriced like crazy. And then number two, this particular company has had negative cash flow for years, and it's just something that it's very, very speculative, and it's not something I would, own.
So it's water down the drain. Global Water Resources, GWRS, that was a fold. You know, we could have used other water down the drain. Just saying. All right. Last, again for Dale, Park Hotels and Resorts, ticker PK.
So I own a very similar company to Parks, which is based down in Richmond. So I like it. The yields, it's a 7% plus yield. It's for real. It's out of its earnings and so forth. And Park Hotels own some quality assets, including a building close to my office here in D.C. The only caveat I would say is that there's a perception that in a recession that they might get hit hard. And there might be opportunity there because the one that I own, Apple REIT, they're really well positioned if there's a recession. But just with that one caveat, I see nothing wrong with Park.
It's a buy on Park, which is ticker symbol PK.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
And yes, we have to say our bye, bye, byes to Martin LeClaire. But it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time out. I already look forward to our next one.
My pleasure, Chuck. Me too.
That's Martin LeClaire, everyone. If you want to learn more about him, his firm, the methods he talked about, and more, check out his website for the firm. It's barrickyard.com. Follow on Twitter at barrickyard. Okay, we have had a great day to start this week, but it's Halloween week. We've got a lot of things planned and a lot of things coming. I will let you know what's coming, and I'll also tell you where Marty just agreed and disagreed with some recent guests. One very big disagreement in there with some recent guests before we send you home right after this message. Stick around.